Luke 23:22. Then Pilate said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that Jesus be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. And Kaufman's comment on this is, carrying out the program which Pilate proposed, he had Jesus removed from the praetorium to the place of scourging and inflicted that punishment upon Jesus. We learn from Josephus and others that the law required that those about to be crucified should be scourged first. But Pilate hoped that the scourging would be sufficient. He believed that the more moderate would take pity upon Jesus when they viewed his scourged body, since scourging was such a cruel punishment that the condemned person often died under its infliction. The scourge was made of strips of leather loaded at the extremity with pieces of bone or metal. The condemned person was stripped of his clothes and fastened to a low post. This bent the back to stretch the skin, and blood spurted at the first blow. It was Pilate's original proposition to scourge Jesus and let him go. Having already scourged him, Pilate now hoped to persuade his release. Presenting our Lord in this state of utter humiliation, Pilate feels that he's removed Jesus from every suspicion of royalty. Pilate speaks of Jesus no longer as a king, but a mere man. Pilate's words, however, have a prophetic color, somewhat like those uttered by Caiaphas. Everyone since that time has looked and must continue to look to Jesus as the ideal model of manhood. Pilate's hope came for nothing, for not one of the Jewish rulers ever wavered in their demand for crucifixion. Luke omitted a number of efforts on the part of Pilate to release Jesus, and here is a list of the efforts that Pilate made to release the Lord. And there are 9 times that Pilate tried to release Jesus and tried not to have to crucify him. And Kaufman titled this, Pilate's Efforts to Avoid Condemning Jesus. Number 1, well, and what these are, none of these are from Mark's account. Mark doesn't give an account of Pilate trying to get Jesus released, but it is Matthew, Luke, and John are the 3, and there's 9. 4 of them are from Luke, 4 from John, and 1 from Matthew. Okay, so this first one is from John, and Pilate asked that the Jews take Jesus and judge him according to their own law. Number 2, these next 4 are all from Luke's account. He announced a verdict of innocence. Number 3, he sent Jesus to Herod. Number 4, he sent Jesus' innocence. He announced Jesus' innocence had been confirmed by Herod also. And 5, he twice offered a substitute to substitute a lighter punishment. And these are all from Luke 23. Okay, now the one account that Matthew gives that Pilate tried to release Jesus. Number 6, he offered a choice between Barabbas and Jesus, hoping the people would choose Jesus to be released. And then these last 3 are from John. Number 7, he suggested that they take Jesus without legal process and crucify him, promising that he would look the other way if they did. And then Pilate, number 8, even appealed to Jesus to perform some miracle by implication that would make it easy to release him. And then the 9th, Pilate sought the more to release Jesus. Okay, in the comment of their voices prevailed, Kaufman says, prevailed over what? Over a cowardly governor who, with an army at his back, allowed himself to be bullied by chief priests? Pilate signed the death warrant of a man he had repeatedly declared to be innocent. Is there anything worse than this that a governor might be guilty of than to end up convicting an innocent man that he had said multiple times was innocent? Okay, which obviously was a rhetorical question that Kaufman ended that passage with. Okay, verses 24 and 25. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested, and he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And Kaufman's comment on these two verses are, Pilate's act was intended to show that he regarded the crucifixion of Jesus as a murder, and therefore he meant to wash his hands of the guilt thereof. Had the Jewish rulers not been frenzied by hatred, the sight of Pilate washing his hands would have stopped them. But in their rage, they took upon themselves and their children all the responsibility. Here are examples of some of the responsibilities. At the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the Israelites answered in part for the blood of the Messiah, but God alone determines the extent of their responsibility, and He alone can say when their punishment will end. But we know that it ends for all when they repentantly seek God's forgiveness. The punishment of God are not vindictive. They are awards of justice imposed by a merciful hand. There was no justification for such a crime on Pilate's part. His knowledge of Jesus' innocence, as proved by his repeated efforts to release him, only aggravated Pilate's guilt and did not diminish it. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will pick up with verse 26 next week.